For anybody that does not like Drake, well, you're in luck because it's a Kevin and Tyler episode. It's Kevin and Tyler previewing Kent State. We get a little bit of Kevin's thoughts from the Iowa State game as well, since he wasn't on Sunday's podcast. The real football analysis starts about, I don't know, like 28, 30 minutes in. But the first part is pretty funny, too. At least we think so. Let's have a week, a day. Let's go. Drake said today, earlier today, if they want to hear my voice, tell them patreon.com. And I thought that is disrespectful.
You know, I listened to you guys' episode on Sunday. I guess it came out Monday.
Yeah.
I was getting shit on for not being on the podcast when I was on vacation.
It is
5:30 on a Wednesday night for him.
Yeah, that's not vacation. That's not vacation. I think that is what Drake would call new in his life, because he has a companion. And for those out there thinking, no, there's no possible way that another human, male or female, would ever want to deal with that on a significant other level, you're wrong. There's a special lady.
Clover, you've met her, right?
I have. She's
all there, right?
She's completely normal.
There's no way you're completely normal, but she like comes off as she's like all there.
Comes off as let me just say this. There's a few females who walked through the rooms of 337 and 339 Benton that were levels crazier or less appealing than Drake's current partner. So there's that, and good on him.
Yeah. This one must be just a saint.
We'll get to the Patreon in a second, because you psychopaths are blowing it up. But first, Kevin, I want to know your opinion on this. I've heard it multiple times. It has nothing to do with Iowa football, but it's just a good open-ended question. Do you believe that if you get offended, it is your fault? Doesn't matter what it is. If you take offense to something, it is on you, and that is actually your problem. It's a question I've been pondering lately, and
if
I find it interesting.
If I get offended by something, is it my fault?
Correct. Because assuming this, that it's not being blatantly disrespectful to you specifically, if it's just a general thing that offends you, right? Like you see, I don't know, something you disagree with politically or something you do, and you just, you take offense to that.
I guess you could say, in a way, your mindset is a result of your self-talk and information that you take in, and you are the person that creates your own mindset. You know, there's a whole lot of influences out there, whether it be TV, newspaper, magazines, two idiots on a podcast. That's but awesome. You are ultimately responsible for your mindset. So if you are upset by something, then yes, I could see how it is technically your fault, but there are things out there which are both perfectly normal and you should be upset about.
Right. No, and I think being offended by some things is okay. It's just how we, the connection between how you feel and then how you act or how you respond. And I think that's the part where a lot of people get messed up. I just think it's an interesting question. And I threw it on the old, list, but yeah,
I believe, you know, some people are good at this, some people aren't good at this, but you should be able to control your emotions yourself and be able to
act responsibly.
Not so much act responsibly. What I'm saying is manage your reactions.
Yes. Now,
and like I said before, there is plenty of stuff out there for you to be upset about.
Right. Now, let's say that your Iowa Hawkeyes were ranked by the AP poll fifth in the country. Let's just say that that was the case. Now,
this is hypothetical.
This is hypothetical. It could also be literal. And in another poll, they're ranked eighth or ninth or 10th, or you see some pundit come out and they're power ranked like in the teens. And you take offense to that. Well, you have that luxury. You get to make that decision, but it's your insecurity about the team that's causing that reaction. So
I would say that if you're getting offended or upset by that at this point in the season by some person who I can only imagine is not on the college football playoff committee,
probably not,
then you are wasting your time, energy, and your just total mental capacity on this thing. And yeah, you should probably log off of Twitter and go do something productive.
Yeah. Now, not hypothetically, the Hawkeyes are ranked fifth in the country,
which is cool.
What was the highest we got to in 2015? Did we make it to four?
We might've made it to three.
Or three? One year we were
three going into the Big Ten championship.
Okay. And we fucked that up, didn't we?
Yeah, we
did. Just checking on that one, just to make sure. New Patreon subs. I mentioned it in the intro. You guys better be careful because if you guys keep signing up for Patreon, Monday alone, we had 8 people sign up. Okay.
And another squad right there.
And I don't know if it's just so that I read your name on the podcast, Kevin, Matthew, Kelly, Doug, Kyle, John, Dylan, Keith, Elijah, and Brennan and Paul. Those are all the signups we've had since we did the last episode, but you guys better be careful because I don't know if the University of Iowa Hospital wants a wing named after us, but if we keep getting people to sign up, that's how much money is going to get donated to the kids. And Drake Kulik's name is going to be in UI Children's. There's going to be a lot of people that are unhappy with that. Okay.
Do we even have enough boots for these people to join the army?
We're running out of the armory is thin. The armory is thin, but we're going to reload. And, for everyone that is signed up and saw the extra Drake and Tyler show podcast this week, you guys heard all about what we're going to be doing with Patreon. An extra podcast every week that is video only. You got to watch Drake eat breakfast this week while we talk shit about some people. And
what is going on in this extra episode?
It's basically like OnlyFans. Drake and I just take, yeah.
Oh, so we actually went with that idea?
Yeah, we went with it. But yeah, for those new listeners that are here and don't understand what a Patreon is, or you've never seen that sort of, thing, it's just essentially a paywall. We do these podcasts every Monday, Thursday for every week of the year. We miss one, maybe every 6 months. Those are all free. They'll always be free. You'll never have to pay to listen to us, our normal show. But there's some things that with merchandise that we do, discount codes, there's some exclusive merch, there's some extra podcasts, there's some extra video content. That's what me and Drake have been doing. I'm going to be doing a written piece now. I'm going to call it the walk-on power rankings for the Big Ten during the season. I'm not qualified to write a power rankings, but hey, who gives a shit? Some of you may care what I think about the 14 teams in the Big Ten. I'm going to write about it. There's a lot of extra stuff that we do. And overall, the biggest thing is that 50% of your subscription goes to the Children's Hospital, as it does with merchandise and everything else. So that is what Patreon is. Patreon.com/washedupwalkons. If you're interested, if you don't understand it, just message me and I'll tell you more about it. But those are all the new Patreon signups. Now, I wanted to do this as well. Now, because there's a lot of new listeners, Kevin, in the month of September, we're going to grow about 60 to 70% in listenership month over month. And that's not a small number.
You know, I work in sales, and that's actually a very big
number. That's a big freaking number, dude. Not all of you listening, this may be even part of your trial. You're like, I'm going to give them like 3 to 5 episodes. We'll see if it pans out. And I thought I'd give you a contrast of 2 reviews of our podcast from Apple Podcast Reviews. I'm going to start with the bad one. And, you know, some of you will have opinions on this. Now, keep in mind that the username that left this review is Emily is a truth sayer. So she feels very highly about herself already. 1-star review. This was 1 week ago today.
Hey, that's 1 more star than I had in high school.
Hey, heart don't have stars, baby. You know what I'm saying? The title of her review is Rant Show. And this is interesting because we're in the season. Like, we're doing actual football content. She called it a rant show. I listen to a ton of Hawkeye podcasts, and this one used to be one of them. I've stopped following because the deep state conspiracy stuff is too much to bear. Referencing Drake on that one.
That's fair.
The episode with James Daniels was cringeworthy and tone deaf to the racial bias in the program, which is interesting because I don't remember ever having a teammate named fucking Emily. Don't remember an Emily inside the program.
That's
a hot take.
That is a take.
If you share their views politically, which I would love for someone to peg down my political views.
Don't talk politics on this very much.
And can look past the ranting. This pod is probably for you, as they do pull in some interesting guests. Oh, well, thanks, Emily. I'm an open-minded person as far as different views, but this show takes it to a level where I couldn't listen anymore. There are several Hawk podcasts that provide great content and are far superior listens. That's probably true.
That's absolutely true.
They might not have the unique insight of former players, but the tone is more professional and unbiased. Yeah, you're probably right.
That's probably accurate. Yeah, sure.
1-star review from Emily. Now, here is a...
I think given her comment, we deserve 2 stars.
I do too. I think it was more of like a 2-star review.
You know, I think Drake's ranting just really, really turned her off.
Drake turns a lot of people off.
I can't say, like, what... That James Daniels episode comment really threw me off.
Tone deaf to the racial bias in the program. Interesting, huh? Gonna have to go back and listen to that one.
To let them talk about that.
Right. No, you can't make everybody happy. Now, this is the opposite side of that. You only get the real shit here. So we read our bad reviews, okay? We're going to read you a good one too. This one is by username Cole Slaws. It's already great. 5 stars. This was about a month and a half ago. Title of the review, Extra Nugs! ! Have you ever been craving Chick-fil-A?
Yes.
You are hungry. You know exactly what you want, in all caps. 10-piece nug, large fry, and a sweet tea. You get there, order it, pull up, pay, and receive your food in 27 seconds. Then the magic happens. You open the box and of nugs, and boom! Bonus nug. Best feeling ever. Got what you wanted, and then some more extra bonus nugs you weren't expecting. Well, Wash Up Walk-Ons is the Hawkeye podcast equivalent to the Chick-fil-A bonus nugs. It's the GOAT. You know what you want, and it never lets you down, and occasionally you'll get some bonus nugs. Go Hawks. Now, I don't know.
Just putting us in the same sentence as Chick-fil-A, that's like, I think that's the best
praise. High praise. High praise. So there's some contrasting views for you guys out there. Hopefully that was enjoyable and entertaining.
Do we have any like 2 through 4 stars, or is it just 1 or 5?
Majority 5-star reviews. The next highest is 1 stars because they really want to make it hurt, you know? And then a few 4 stars. Let me see if I can find a 4-star or a 3-star. Here's a 2-star. Oh, this is good. I love it. Poor insights, but delivered confidently. These guys possess valuable experience from being in the Iowa program, but lack perspective. Consequently, their stir the pot commentary is shorthand for poorly supported stream of consciousness and often relies on anger.
That's definitely Drake right there.
I mean, if you're going to review us, you got to review all 3 parts of the podcast. Now, granted, some people might not hear 1 part of the podcast because Kevin, he makes it about 50% of the time. But hey, I'm here, guys. What's going on? I want to find a 3-star. Oh, here we go. Dude, we could do a whole episode on this.
Dude, Drake this likes hilarious. I would do this for the next 10 minutes.
Drake likes to mention dicks. That's the title of the review. He has literally mentioned dicks in about the last 5 episodes. I'm concerned for him. LOL. 3-star review.
You're not the only one concerned for him.
Oh man. That we might have to make that a that might have to be a consistent segment on this is reading our reviews, because that is I am so overjoyed right now. Let's get into some actual content. We're 15 minutes in. Kevin Ward, Tyler Kluver, washed up walk-ons. We're so thankful you're here. And we hope you enjoyed that little segment there. Riley Moss today. A lot of potential in the NIL world. This is a hot topic, Kev, because we talked about Poncheros.
Yeah.
And Riley Moss, he is appealing to what some would say is the Iowa golden, the golden nugget, the treasure that Indiana Jones pulls from the slab, right? Whatever he pulls from the slab. I don't even remember. Been a while since I watched Indiana Jones. He, in an interview, said something about pizza, whatever. And he's like, I like Casey's Pizza. Like, Casey's Pizza is my favorite. And then it blew up on Twitter. El Prez retweeted the interview video of him and said, this guy just doesn't have a brain, because El Prez has a history. When he came to Iowa, they tried Casey's Pizza. He said it was trash, blah, blah, blah. And then everybody just started tweeting Casey's like, hey, in the era of NIL, this seems like a good matchup here. What do you think?
I mean, you got a very high-performing starting Hawkeye.
Hard to perform higher at this point.
What's that?
Hard to perform better at this point.
Yeah, he's playing out of his mind right now. Who is going to war with the internet pizza guy, Dave Portnoy, fighting for your pizza? You pay that man as much as he wants.
I say, you leave... If there's not a Casey's representative at Riley Moss's door with a blank check within the next week, then Casey's needs to reevaluate themselves.
Right. Exactly. And it's not like it's completely authentic too, because it was born out of nowhere. It's like, oh yeah, like Casey's Pizza, and it blows up. And then now, yeah, dude, it's a match made in heaven.
That's how things happen. That's
how it should happen.
That's 2021 right there. If you're thinking, well, it's just going to be the big time. Like, I don't even know. I mean, he's over the first 2 games and he's started to become our big time player on defense. But like going into the season, you would have said Linderbaum, Tyler Goodson, Spencer Petras, Riley Moss might not even been in the top 5.
Does anyone have like any big deals out there? Like, I know I see that
Justin Britt in the wings.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And then I saw Carlos O'Kelly's had
Dane and T-Good.
Dane Belton and
Keith.
Which, good for Keith, we're still staying relevant.
Right? Yeah, that's if you sift through those podcast reviews, you'll see several people who are super informed reviewing us that apparently that's our only goal with this podcast, is to stay relevant within the Hawkeye space.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
I mean, Drake could give a shit, and I
don't give a fuck.
I don't think any of us care. You want a little?
That's $5 for the kids right there.
Yeah. So, I just got me thinking, like, what really is the most? What makes the most sense outside of like Tristan Wirfs and Bush Light, which I don't think they're gonna allow alcoholic, you know.
Did the NCAA say anything about alcohol or gambling or anything?
I'm not sure. Like, a lot of the guys are 21 and older, but I highly doubt the universities are going to want that. You know, like I don't think KF's up there saying, hey, if you can get a fucking Bud Light sponsorship, okay, that'd be fucking go ahead. Huh? Hey, get about 12. Bring them into the weight room. We'll do 12 ounce curls. Oh, shit. You know?
I can't imagine that the school would like that very much, which would be super hypocritical since they're not selling beer
at the stadium. to try and make up their deficit, their COVID deficit.
And I'm not gonna lie, I helped them out a little bit week one.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. You gonna be there this weekend?
I am not, actually. I got my nephew this weekend.
Is the family gonna be there this weekend?
Family's not gonna be there this weekend.
Oh man, there's no Ward tailgate.
No Ward tailgate this weekend.
Wow, that changes my plans because I was gonna at least stop by there for a half hour or so. I'm gonna be going.
Sorry, man, no cookies for you.
All right, next week. Nope. No.
This is one I'm a little upset about. My best buddy from high school is getting married.
Oh no.
And if you know anything about me on this podcast, one.
There's two things Kevin Ward is in for in life. Okay. One of them is Iowa football.
The fall. All I want to do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday is watch football. That's all I want to do.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go to his wedding. Also, don't have a wedding on a holiday weekend.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't be that guy. Hey, you're not that guy, pal. You're not that guy. But he is that guy, evidently.
Well, it's you know, it's not his decision. It's, you know.
Well, yeah, there's some, probably some female influence there.
Yeah, a little bit. So I'm not going to be in Kinnick for the game against Colorado State either.
That is tough. I will then. Are you going to
miss? I don't think I've ever missed two back-to-back home games in my life before.
Well, there's a time for everything. Well, then the Penn State game, if you go to that.
Penn State game, I'm going. I don't care. I'm going. I don't care if. I don't care what happens. I'm going.
That could be.
I don't care if I get my leg chopped off. I'm crutching it over there.
Yeah.
I told you guys in the group chat, I think that is going to be an electric game. I think Penn State's really good this year.
Yeah, they are.
Potentially two undefeated teams.
Yep.
Penn State's got Auburn, and then who do they have next? They have another good team the following week.
I'm not sure.
Maybe Indiana.
We're not going to look too far ahead. Because obviously we'll hype that one up as much as it needs to be when we get there. But that, Kev.
Anyway, I'm saying sold out night game. Kinnick game day is going to be there, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, if they both keep winning, they will. Game day is in Iowa City in 4 weeks, so get ready to.
And they haven't announced the time yet, and I'm begging for a night game.
It would be a shame if it wasn't. But from what I've heard, other people sort of guessing,
it's got to be a lock, right?
They're saying it's going to be in the morning, man.
No.
Yeah. They're saying that Penn State game is going to be an 11 a.m. kick.
Okay. 11 a.m. kicks are my second favorite. So
yeah, true. All right. But back to the, what's the perfect match made in heaven here? Like what's an Iowa or a Midwest brand NIL wise that would really like, I don't know.
Ivy.
Oh, they have to be doing something. They literally the Hy-Vee Hawks. They run they have the van and everything. They gotta.
Yeah.
Maybe they feel bad if they only sponsor one guy.
True.
I don't know.
What else is out there?
The Wash Up Walk-Ons are out there.
Yeah, well, we don't got that much money.
I know, but here's what I was thinking, man. Like, what if we go big? You know, what if we do it big? What if we set up a walk-on NIL fund? And every year we come up with like some big fundraiser or a couple big fundraiser events each year. And then every year we take that money and give it to like the senior, like if there's any senior walk-ons, right? So like our senior year, it would have been like Hewlett and Gaffey and
us. I don't know.
No.
Were you on? Okay, I guess. Yeah.
I think Drake, technically, I don't think he was on scholarship for the season. People who were still walk-ons at that time.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I mean,
how are we going to raise the money?
I see. It's a big thing. If you do something like that, you gotta figure out a lot of logistics.
I don't want to do OnlyFans. Please don't make me.
I was thinking we start post. You're going to have to take your clothes off. I mean, that's just what it is. Then see, this is where we dip into those. Someone's going to give us a review. Well, they just want to talk about taking their clothes off. Yeah, give us 3 stars. That's at least 3 stars, Jennifer. You know? I mean, come on.
No, I think that'd be a cool idea. Yeah.
It just takes a lot more than we've currently put into anything with this brand.
I mean, like, you know, hey, we're giving out free money. It's not like,
no, I think people would buy into it, right?
Well, I don't think it's like the, whoever the walk-on is like would be pissed. Like, hey, we only gave you $80.
You're right. You're right. No, they're not going to be mad. Like it's more than zero. Right. But I'm right. thinking, I mean, like,
they'd be happy with a $50 gift card. I'm sure.
Like, what if we pair up with like a golf course? Everyone loves golf early in the summer each year, or like in the spring, summer, May, somewhere around there. We do a wash up walk-ons golf outing mm-hmm. somewhere. We get like Dallas Clark to come, the fucking lead walk-on. There's one for the kids. And he, and we get all our buddies who are walk-ons, Nick Easley, Jake Gervais, every walk-on that turned their name into something at the University of Iowa that we can get. Everybody gets shipped off with a group of four. It's just like any other charity event with celebrities. And then the entry fee all goes to whatever we profit from the entry fee or the golf course charges. You just do the difference and it all goes into a fund.
And that'd be cool.
Like, what if we get like 25, 30 grand? And then obviously people could just donate mm-hmm. if they wanted to as well. Right. Like,
I think you're vastly overhyping how popular we are.
I think if it caught on, people who don't know who we are would chip in $100, $200 for a walk on, you know? Hey, just saying.
Let me just do the math here.
Only takes 150 people to donate $200, and that's 30 G's. You got three walk-ons. Senior walk-ons pull 10K from the old washed up.
Say you get 18 foursomes at $100 a pop, that's $7,200.
I understand that, but all the money wouldn't just come from that, right? Like maybe we do a couple other things and then we just leave the donation up all year. We plug it on the podcast all the time, you know?
Yeah.
You might be able to pull like 20 G's. And then we walk in and KF, we walk in with racks of hundreds and we go in and we say, what's up, everybody? We played here a long time ago. We lost a Big Ten championship and we understand that that is a blemish on this program's record in history, but also there's some walk-ons that have been killing this shit. Jimmy, Johnny, and Luke stand up and we just start tossing them stacks of hundreds, you know? And KF is in the corner like, holy shit, all right. I thought this was a good fucking idea. It's not, no, okay.
The KF term Mickey Mouse operation comes to mind.
That's a Mickey Mouse operation. And I don't care. I'll wear a Mickey Mouse hat in there if I have to. I'd love to hand the walk on some money, you know? So we're 30. I mean, we're damn near 30 minutes into this and we've just bullshitted the whole thing. I think it's been a good podcast though. And that's just my opinion. I would give us a 5-star review. You were not with us, as you mentioned on Sunday. You were in Vegas. That Vegas hotel room bed did look soft.
Comfy.
How did it sleep?
It was comfy.
It was good?
I'll tell you what, I got the best 2 hours of sleep in my life.
You went to bed at what, like 6 a.m.? Or would it have been like 4 a.m. there?
It was like 5 a.m. Vegas time that I went to bed, yeah.
That sounds awful, Kevin.
It was a great night.
Oh, dear. Did Vegas treat you well up? Down?
Down.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's, that's common.
Did very well in the sports book and then just gave it all away at the table.
Less well at the casino. Yeah, I figured.
How it goes.
Makes sense. And that sounds like a good time. That's entertaining.
It was a great time, man.
Because it makes you feel good about yourself. You're like, oh, I killed the games and now I can just blow this money at the, you know, at the roulette table.
It was the craps table for me. I like throwing the dice.
I know you like craps, yeah. So what was your thoughts about the Iowa State, the Cy-Hawk matchup? Just, you know, you don't have to go into crazy detail, but we didn't get your thoughts. I wanted to make sure the fans heard what Kevin Ward thought.
I mean, it was pretty much what I expected. You know, I think the defense played very well, obviously. And it was like two quick drives that they gave up touchdowns on, like right before the half. And it was towards the end of the game there, where it just kind of seemed like they were a little bit too lax and, you know, a couple just chunk play there in the end zone. But overall, I think the defense played really well. did a great job of stopping the run, containing Purdy. I mean, they benched the freaking guy.
Second week in a row.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So defense played really well. Obviously, the turnovers were huge. And then, like we said, special teams and field position was probably the biggest difference maker. You know, when we're starting on the 40-yard line, they're starting inside the 10 every time. It's like, is our offense playing great right now? No, but give them 60 yards to go every time, they're going to score some points.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you need – if you start at the 40 with Caleb Shudak, you realistically need – 25 or 30 yards to be in
25 field goal yards and you're in scoring distance.
You need 2.5-3 first downs. And that's what Drake and I talked about, is like the hidden yardage that the Hawkeyes are pumping out right now with Torrey Taylor and Charlie Jones.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
On both ends of the punt and the kickoff. We've been great on kickoff as well. We've had that with Amir Smith-Marset the last couple of years too. It is making the offense's job so much easier.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I listen to podcasts, you know, you get 10 yards on a punt return, that's a first down.
It's wild.
So basically what we're netting from, say, offense doesn't get the first down, has to punt. Torrey Taylor hits a 60-yard punt, no return.
Yeah.
Defense holds them to a 3-and-out, say they get 5 yards. You know, a good punt is 50 yards. From the opposing guy, we get 10 yards back. That's essentially a 20-yard offensive play, and it's first and 10.
Yeah.
But going back to my point is, like, you know, we start 35 plus almost every drive, it felt like. Eventually, we're going to score some points. They had to go 90 plus against our defense almost the entire game. That's
literally almost every drive.
It's like, come on.
And what you're seeing there, folks, is – man, and me and Kevin know this to a T, right? We didn't play offense, but I do want to mention that every time I was on the field, I had the ball in my hands, just saying. They only put the ball in the hands of people they trust. Kevin and I, many a times, 2-6, we were backed up deep in our end zone.
Too many, and it's very uncomfortable.
It doesn't feel good.
It's very uncomfortable as a punting team to be backed up inside your 15, 10, 5-yard line.
I remember one at Wisconsin that was about the 2-yard line.
Yeah, it's not a very stressful, stressful play.
It does not feel good to have your heels in a different color grass, okay?
Either A, them boys are coming.
They're coming.
Or B,
they're not coming.
They're not coming. They're going, they're doubling some people and trying to get a hell of a return.
They're tackling the
guy's catching the ball on the plus 45-yard line.
And he's got
room.
And
you're like, well, shit, I got to tackle this guy within 5 yards. Otherwise, they're in field goal range.
It's at that point that everyone's hoping, wow, I hope they really underestimated Kluver. Hope no one was on him. And we hope that Kluver got him to the sideline because there's nobody else down there. Happened a couple times. Yeah, man. So the offense, I can guarantee, does not feel quite as good as they do out at the 40 that they do at the 5, right? It's just,
I mean, no offense does. That's
right. It just feels, you know, bad snap. There's a lot less room for error. I think back to Jaleel Johnson. You know, we're on the 1-yard line against Michigan after a Kaluzi bomb, and a little, you know, one slip
difference in the game.
So, and they had that every single possession, dude. It was like, well, what happens is like now the defense, which ours is elite. We have a current defense that is playing at a championship level, not a Big Ten championship level, a national championship level. And now you're like, okay, well now if Purdy or Brees, if they get one or two, it's still going to take them a few plays to get out to the 40, to the 50. Whereas if they start at the 40 or 50, they're already in scoring range. The confidence in those field positions are completely different. So,
right. Yeah. You know, field positions and turnovers won the game, no doubt. And here's another thing. Like if you're starting inside the 10, 15 yard line, mm-hmm. just watch college football. Yeah. How many 90 play yard drives do you see without at least one or two plays over 20 yards?
Yeah. Not a lot.
Not many. It happened. You know what comes to mind is the 20 play, 9-minute Michigan State drive in the Big Ten championship, and they had to go for it on like 3 fourth downs. It's like not many teams out there are capable of just going 4 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards, fourth down for 8 first downs in a drive and scoring a touchdown. It doesn't happen very often in college football.
You know what that drive reminds me of?
Some big plays, some big chunk plays, of which the Iowa defense right now is doing a great job of eliminating big plays.
Really? And that's, you know, that's Phil's big thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, that they would have been around the 2014, 2015 year they started tracking big plays.
Yeah.
And if we give up less than 2 plays over 25 yards,
we win the game.
We win the game 90-something% of the time.
Yeah. Turnover margin's a big one too. And obviously the DBs are and the linebackers are helping us out with that. But you know who else is helping us out with that? Spencer Petras. He hasn't done a lot that's great. Nobody on the offense has this to this point. Again, we've talked about the inconsistency and rhythm that the defense has kind of in the field positioning. And like, we haven't had to put together rhythm drives from our 20 yet where it hasn't been a quick turnover. Like, it's just this weird thing through 2 games, but Spencer hasn't thrown an interception. We had 2 fumbles in that first game, which were, I would say, uncharacteristic, and we're taking care of the ball. And I think when you win the turnover battle, you win like 83% of the time. So yeah, I'm so willing to bet.
Good job there. Yeah. Obviously, you know, Spencer's not having a great start to the season. And I think some of that can be attributed to the fact that our run game's not doing very well.
Right.
So it's like,
we get shot back this week.
Especially at Iowa's offense. We thrive on being balanced, being able to run the ball, being able to throw the ball. If we can only run the ball, we're in trouble. If we can only throw the ball, we're in trouble. So you'd like to see the offensive line grow as a group a little bit more, be able to establish the run game early down so that we don't have to be dropping back on 3rd and 10+.
And you know, it would be nice to get like a Kent State or a Colorado State week 3 or 4, right? Well, guess what? We've got them. Kent State, we'll take a little look here. I wanted to bring you guys a special guest like we did versus Indiana or Iowa State, but guess what? Evidently, Kent State football is so not cared about that they don't have a single podcast out there that's about Kent State football. Couldn't find one. Just couldn't. I listened to Coach Ferentz's press conference a little bit. I read a few of the beat writers' articles, you know, Eicholt, Halas. I run down all the writers. They've all written pregame sort of articles. What I gather is that Kent State is an up-tempo team. They're running plays at a frequency of, you know, in between 15 and 18 seconds per in between plays. They're quick. Don't like that as a defender. And I want to
hear. It makes life tough.
Yeah.
But
they have some good skill guys, and maybe one of their best veteran players is their quarterback. So, you know, just so happens that we've got a defense that has some pretty damn good skill guys too. So if we wanted one spot on the, you know, one matchup to match up with their best part, we've got it. This is a game that Iowa should win. You never take that into account as a player. You'd never think we should win this. The guys, if you've listened to them, they're rolling off that Kevin Ward mindset, which is just the Iowa mindset of Kent State is our whole season right now. They are who's next on the schedule. That being said, we are part of the noise. And if Iowa loses this game, it would be
catastrophic.
It would be a massive upset and a mistake on the Hawkeyes part.
Let me just circle back to the up-tempo offense thing. The key when you're playing those like lightning fast teams, the teams that like to go fast as they can, is get them off schedule. Mm-hmm. Either negative running plays, so tackles for losses or minimal gains, or incomplete passes. Really slows down the game, helps out the defense. If you get them going, if you know, 4-yard run, 5-yard hitch route, 6-yard out route, you know, and they just keep going, then it's easier for them to build rhythm. The longer those drives go, the more the defense gets tired. Usually those teams don't sub, so we can't sub. It makes it more difficult for the defense as the drive goes along. So it's very key to win early in downs, especially against the run, and then try to force incompletion. So it seems like teams like that generally try to go nickel dime, you know, easy completions,
right,
for that very reason, because an incompletion throws off your whole rhythm.
Yeah.
The defense gets a breath, you know.
Yeah. So. And that bodes well, I think, for the Hawks. Obviously, our defense and secondary is elite, and I think we can get a bunch of incomplete passes. Where I do see that becoming a potential issue is and maybe you can counter this, it could be a non-issue. You know, they get a couple dink dunk, here we go, we're 15, we're 20 yards into a drive, Kent State's moving the ball. They did it against Texas A&M, who's a top 10 team, and starts to get the defensive line a little bit tired, right? Now, they hit us with they're probably in shotgun. They hit us with a run play. The defensive line's tired. We lose a gap positioning. They gash us for 7-10 yards because now the linebackers, they're on their heels. They're thinking pass every play. It's been four passes in a row. And our D-line is our inexperienced part of our defense. So I could see that happening. But what I could also see is I know they have 11 guys and we have 11 guys, but our 11 guys should be better than their 11.
Oh, 100%. And I can tell you they are.
And not only that, because
you're better doesn't mean you always win.
Right. And not only that, but I'm going to continue to call it the Doyle effect. Anyone who gets triggered can get triggered. I just have a hard time believing they're better conditioned and more well put together physically than us.
100%.
And that will wear them down. So while they may look like they have a lot of energy and tempo early in the game, that is something too. When a big, and we've seen it a lot, a Big Ten team can wear one of those teams down. And by the third, fourth quarter, it's like when Marshalltown played the Des Moines schools, man, you just run out of gas eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll be important this is what I love about our style of play is our offense is very methodical in the way that we move down the field. We huddle up, you know, we generally snap the ball with less than 10 seconds left on the play clock. Keeps the defense off the field. The way we play offense makes it so much easier to play defense.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think that's something that a lot of people don't think about as well. It's like when the other side of the ball is out there, it's not just about what they're doing. It's about what they're doing for their own offense or defense too.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's hard to score when you don't have the ball.
Yeah.
The Big 12 has gotten a little bit better at this, but think about it like 5-6 years ago when they were scoring 50 to 50 something every other game. It's like, okay, well, you go super fast. You only go for shot plays. You score in three plays in a minute and 20. And
your linebackers are looking at you like, dude, what the fuck, man?
Your defense has to take 90 snaps is on the field for 35, 40 minutes. It's like, of course you're giving up a shit ton of
points. Yeah, they're not going to be quality reps when you're playing two games inside of 60 minutes.
Yeah. That's why I fully believe in complementary football.
Yeah. I want to circle back one quickly because I had this question asked me like 10 times. Clearly there was a bad snap. We touched on it in the podcast the other day, but then we got sidetracked on how good Torrey Taylor and Charlie Jones was. There was a bad snap the other day. Here's what happened. Because there was a no-name snapper that came in with a jersey and it looked like Epinesa's brother. It wasn't Epinesa's brother. Spiewak, I don't know what's going on. It's not my, I don't have the power to go in there and be like, hey, Coach Woods, what's going on in the specialist's head right now? I don't give a shit. But Spiewak had a high first punt snap. I can tell you that when you have the balls in your hand, when you have balls in your hand, Kevin, yeah, it gets sweaty. Let me tell you, when you have the ball in your hand and you're in Jack Trice Stadium and the game is sort of literally in your hands, right? You throw that thing over the punter's head. It completely changes the complexity of the game. You don't want to think about that, but sometimes it feels like that. You get a little nervous. There's absolute electricity flowing through your body. He throws the first punt snap a little high. I was like, oh, okay, well, first snap, I've been there before. They come out for that first field goal that Caleb missed. Not the holder's fault, not Caleb's fault. I'm surprised they even got off the kick that they did.
Yeah, it looked like he like fully paused when he's about to kick it.
Yeah, it was the snapper's fault. Really, really high wobbly snap. Don't know what Spiewak was going through there. Not sure what happened. He's always been money on PATs. The next play that we had with PAT field goal, we brought out number 39, who on the roster is Epinesa's brother. I forget his first name right now, but it was not actually Epinesa's brother. It was the true freshman long snapper, Luke Elkin, who has risen up the depth chart and really came in and snapped some really nice, clean footballs for the PAT field goals. Spiewak stayed in on the punts. That's what happened for all those listening. Back to the Kent State. There's not much more to say. We didn't get someone to cross over and tell us what's going on here. They lost 41-10 at Texas A&M. Then last week,
they've been an impressive team so far, in my opinion.
Right. Then they went and beat an FCS school, Virginia Military Institute. I think they literally pulled people.
Is that the school that Manders went to before he came?
It might be Manders High School. I think they played Manders High School. And so they beat those guys 60-10, but I think that they might have like eighth graders on that team. I'm not sure. So hard to,
Manders went to some school like that.
I know. I'm fully aware.
I want to know if that's the one.
Manders might've been in the game. He honestly, so it's hard to get a gauge on these guys. The line, and you know what? Now that I mentioned the line, let's just bring in
DJ Kevin.
Let's bring in the expert. The walk-ons did well, Kev. Big week 2, 8-1.
Technically 7-1.
7-1. Yeah, right. You're right. I tried to avoid that this week, but I have 3 picks. Maybe they coincide with yours. Drake's probably does not with either of ours, so... Go ahead.
Drake's a crazy man. Just bets the NFL, the hardest thing to bet in the world.
Right.
All right.
We're back to even, all of us, by the way. All 3-3 now.
So the whole podcast, we're back to even?
We're back to even. All right, 9-9.
Winning week this week means we're actually in the money.
Correct.
We're losing on the juice right now. All right. I like the over in the Alabama-Florida game at 59.5.
Okay.
I think you got two very high-powered offenses. Not so sure on Florida's defense right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Bama's defense, I think they've been untested. I know they played Miami. Miami has not looked very great so far either. So I don't know what to expect for these defenses. I like that over. I think you can see a little bit of a shootout there. Last time they played – would have been the SEC championship. I think the score was like in the 80s.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was it, like 42-35 or something like that?
It was higher than that.
Oh, wow.
Like 50-40 something.
Wow.
Yeah, so I like the over in that game. I also like Pittsburgh -15 versus Western Michigan.
Okay.
Pittsburgh coming off a big win at Tennessee. Their offense looked very good, very high power. They got some good receivers. Western Michigan, they just beat Illinois State 28-0. Okay, Illinois State's not as good as they used to be. They got schlacked by Michigan week 1.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Pittsburgh to cover 15.
The Fighting Joel Welshes.
He's at Central Michigan.
Oh, Central Michigan. Damn. Yeah. Sorry. Nope. Yeah. The Fighting former PJ Flex, I mean.
Exactly. The X row the boaters.
Yeah.
And then I like the under in the Northwestern Duke game at 49.5.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Give me
a 21-10 final.
If that. I think Northwestern has a decent defense. They just got to work on a little bit. Their first week versus Michigan State didn't look very good, but they have the potential to be there. And both these offenses, I think, are just atrocious.
Yeah.
I like the under in that game.
All right. Those are Kevin's 3 picks. Of course, we will have this graphic up early Thursday morning by 10 o'clock so that if you guys want to mosey down to your local casino and place a bet, or if you're just smart, just get an app. It's legal now. So
personally, I get the tickets.
Kevin
keeps
likes
to bet. Yeah. Keeps me from betting dumb stuff.
Yeah. Kevin, that's probably smart for you. I'm going to give you Drake's lines real quick. We talked about this yesterday on the Patreon only pod, because we are going to start doing extended betting segments for those that are interested. We're going to cover like all the games of the NFL, because you know, sometimes you have to give Drake what he wants, and that's what he wants right now. He likes Houston to cover 13 on Cleveland. He was impressed.
Wait, whoa, what now?
He likes the Houston Texans to cover 13 on Cleveland because he was impressed with Houston in the first week. They beat down on Jacksonville. And
No. You have that line backwards. It's Cleveland minus 13. I'm about to say that does not.
I just said plus 13 and a half.
Okay. I thought you said minus.
No, I meant to say plus. Houston okay. plus 13.
Okay.
Yeah, Houston's not favored by 13. If I said minus,
I would put my mortgage.
Yeah, they put the mortgage. Whole house on it. No, Houston to cover plus 13. He liked Houston in the early week. He thinks they're better offensively than they were expected to be. And so he thinks they're going to cover versus Cleveland, who I thought looked pretty good against the Chiefs, but that was Drake's pick. He likes New Orleans and the LASIK Jameis Winston's to cover 3.5 at Carolina. And I didn't hate that bet either.
I don't know about that one.
I didn't hate it.
I think Carolina is going to have a solid team this year.
Okay. 3.5. You might be able to get it at 3. If you have a specific sports book, it looks like 3 or 3.5 at this point. His final pick was in college. It was the Hawks. He wants the under for Iowa and Kent State. And I was full on board with that. I don't know about Iowa's offense. I don't think anybody does at this point, but we do know about Iowa's defense. And if the line's 22, you know,
what was the over under?
The over under on Iowa Kent State, I believe it opened like 56.5. And it is now currently sitting at still 56.5.
Yeah. I mean, to go over in that, Iowa's going to have to score at least 42 points.
Right.
At least 42 points.
That would be 42-14 is 56.
Right. So I definitely, you know, yeah, I'd probably am going to bet the under in that myself. Yeah,
we both thought that was a really good pick.
Yeah. I think you should bet the Iowa under until they go over.
Might go 12-0 to the under. And this is something we didn't talk about, Kev. You know, everyone's worried about the Iowa offense. These next 2 weeks, folks, is when you want to sort of give them a chance to open it up. Schott is not going to play a full game this weekend. He is going to get some reps. I still see Iowa's offensive line and run game taking a little bit to get going. And if they do get going, a run game runs the clock, right? So points are not in favor of a running clock. Or a running clock is not in favor of points. So I see the under here on this game. Those are Drake's picks. Houston to cover plus 13.5, New Orleans minus 3.5, and Iowa Kent State under. My picks, Tyler Kluver's picks for the week. We are going strictly college football. Illinois looked good in their first game. They have not looked good since. They have given up 101 points in 3 games. I'm taking Maryland. It's been bet up from -5 to -7.5. I'm still taking Maryland -7.5.
The dreaded hook.
Yeah. Illinois, they don't look good.
Captain Hook get you.
Yeah, I'm taking it. This next pick is purely out of spite. We've all had it on our calendar. We've been waiting for Oklahoma to drop 80 on Nebraska for weeks. I want Oklahoma -22 on the Nebraska Cornhuskers just because I hate Nebraska. And then my final pick of the week is going to be the Penn State hosting Auburn game. I think Penn State looks really good, and I really do think they're the front runner in the East right now. I'm going to take Penn State -5 over Auburn at home.
At 5. I thought it was at 6.
Let me see where it currently sits here on this website. Yeah, here it's sitting at -5. It even sits at -4.5 on FanDuel as of the time recording this podcast. So so I'm taking the Nittany Lions. I think they look really good. They have an offensive attack that, you know, they didn't score points versus Wisconsin. Wisconsin's obviously known for good defense. I think they have weapons, and Clifford is a veteran quarterback in the Big Ten. Their defense has a couple studs as well,
Penn State's a good team. I was looking at that game earlier too. I'm surprised it's gone down, actually.
Yeah, I was too. So, and I think they play well at home. You know, that's a great place to play. So, those are my picks. Maryland to cover Oklahoma to cover and Penn State to cover. We will have those out.
I just looked at is the Oklahoma Nebraska over under 62 might be a good over.
Yeah, I thought about that one as well because Oklahoma's defense hasn't been great, and
yeah, I mean Nebraska's been able to score points here and right. there, so I mean yeah, and you know Oklahoma's probably going to score at will.
Yeah, Nebraska's defense I think is.
Yeah, Nebraska's coming off a pretty good game against Buffalo.
Where they should have won by more, but like six touchdowns got called back. So then I think finally here, as we wrap this episode up, we're basically just, again, looking at that Iowa line. I think it's at minus 22 or minus 22 and a half right now. If I ever don't think Iowa's not going to cover, I'm not putting it in one of my picks. I'm never going to pick the other as one of my picks. This right. is a game I don't think Iowa's going to cover. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. It's going to take another week to figure out Iowa's offense. I see this as a 31-10. Like, it's going to be close.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Iowa covering strictly because we give up like 9 points.
Right.
But I won't bet Iowa to cover.
Until I see a bunch of offensive production, I'm not going to bet on that.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. I saw the I put a 19 parlay in just for fun.
Oh, you dog.
Of course. Yeah. I put I took Tulsa to cover like 24.5 versus Ohio State. And this is kind of the same thing with Iowa. Until they prove to me they can cover a big number, I'm not gonna be betting on that.
Right. So
I don't think Ohio State's defense can allow them to cover a big number. Just like I don't know if Iowa's offense can allow us to cover a big number right now. So
yeah. We have some work to do on the offensive side of the ball. Hopefully the Hawks get that figured out over the next 2 weeks against some non-conference opponents before we get, you know, we're going to go to Maryland for that kind of the Big Ten opener, but the reopener, Maryland, Penn State, it's not the two easiest games to reopen the Big Ten with. So for those on the Patreon,
any of our peeps from the Capital Area iClub,
Capital Area iClub, they probably are throwing a little tailgate party, I assume. It'll probably be a good time out there, assuming the Hawks win and all.
Shout out them. I'll be wearing my shirt that day.
Yeah, for sure. For those that are on the Patreon, look out for the written piece. I'm going to drop my Big Ten power rankings probably either Thursday or Friday. It's probably going to be Thursday or Friday. It's obviously going to be today or tomorrow, Friday before the game. And that's it. We hope you enjoyed this preview episode. We should smash Kent State. I just don't know if we'll smash them by 22.5. Hawks should be 3-0 when we talk to you again on Monday morning. And that's about it. Hawks by a milli. Walk-ons out.